happen. Let's give you a quick example of something that might, we won't be able to go through all the details, but I want to give you a feel for it. So for example, consider something like this. So for each Z, the set of solutions to FWZ is normally 3 points. Because it's a cubic polynomial and it has three roots. But sometimes Z is such that FWZ has multiple roots. Now this happens like roots with multiplicity. This happens less than three. This happens when two of the roots come together. Okay, so how do we figure out when that happens? Well, we look at our polynomial and we say, well, I have a polynomial of W. Some of the roots coincide if the derivative of that polynomial vanishes. This happens when we can find solutions to, you know, something as both a root and also derivative. So Z, or we can solve this equation, are the branch points. So this is going to be finitely many values of Z because I have two equations and two variables. So in our example, let's figure out the branch points in this example. F W Z is W cubed over 3 minus Z squared W minus 1. The F the W is W squared minus Z squared. So if I ask if both of these are 0, the second equation says that Z is either plus or minus W. And then inserting Z into the first equation, get Z cubed minus 3 minus plus Z cubed is equal to 1. So Z cubed is either plus or minus 3 over 2. Or if you prefer, right, like this, says 6 is 9 over 4. So this equation certainly has 6 roots. So there are 6 branch points. And they live on a regular hexagon. This is the origin. Was it line. So there are 6 branch points living on a regular head. In this example, and as I said, the point of this example was to give you some illustration of some more complicated behavior. So we can ask, what happens at the branch points? At each branch point, the second derivative is not equal to 0. Which you can see pretty easily because the second derivative is just w, which is plus or minus c, so that's not 0. This means if the second derivative was 0, that means all 3 roots would come together, but here only 2 of them. So here's the kind of picture. So at z equals 0, you have 3 roots, which are the cube roots of 3. Say omega 1, omega 2, omega 3. As I go around a path, if I was to go straight to this point here, 2 of the roots would come together. So that tells me that as I go around the path, 2 of the roots are switched and one of them remains the same. So this going around the path sends omega 1, omega 2, omega 3, say, for example, omega 2, omega 1, omega 3.
We have 6 possible roots, 6 possible branch points. Z equal to 0. What is z equal to 0?
Z equal to 0 is just a random point.
Okay. And then z equal to 0 is a random point, and we know the branches are at omega 1, omega 2, omega 3.
So at this random point, these are the solutions to the equation, there's 3 of them. So there's 3 branches. Uh-huh. So I want to parameterize the 3 branches in some way, and I'm parameterizing them by their value at z equals 0. So if this was for a quadratic equation, I would say, for like w squared equals z, I could say, let's take z equals 1, and I parameterize the branches by the 2 square roots of 1. And then as I go around the origin, these 2 square roots switch. So there's 3 branches, and I'm parameterizing them by their value here. And as I go around here, 2 of the branches switch, and one of them doesn't.
How can we see this?
Okay, let me get a new blackboard to explain that. So suppose we take our 6 branch points, and we look near here, then FWZ, so let's call this value Z minus Z naught. And I want to expand in a series around z minus z naught to kind of understand how my function looks like near there. Looks like because there's a multiple root there, so one of it will be w minus a squared, w minus b plus order z minus z naught. So which means when we look near here, the solutions for W, I can write this right. Well, let me rewrite this because I'm not doing a great job writing. Let's just change coordinates. So this is at z equals 0, make things simpler. So there's going to be one root at w minus b, and then there's two that come together. So when z goes to 0, these two things come together. Explaining it really badly, but the point is you can kind of ignore this piece and it looks really like w squared equals z is the important part. But the fact that two of the roots switch for the same reason that when you look at w squared equals z, two of the roots switch when you go around the origin.
So by going around that path, what are we doing here? What are we doing to switch?
I always find it hard to think in real time and stuff. So what I want to say is that like F looks like W squared minus Z. So this is something which gets a double where the roots coincide when Z goes to 0 times W minus B. And this part is irrelevant. Okay, what are the solutions? The solutions are W equals root C, W is minus root C, and W equals B. And these two switch. So the idea of this argument is you look near one of the branch points, it's always going to look like that. Plus terms which don't really matter. So then the important part will always just look like W squared equals Z. So, of course, there's other things that can happen. Three of the roots could come together. Then it would be W cubed equals Z. And then they would all permute cyclically around. So, like the most general behavior. Is if we have an degree n polynomial, there could be k groups which look like wn1 equals z, or like wn2 equals z, and so on. So in each, we get some, the set of n roots permute. And one of them permutes cyclically, and two of them permute cyclically, and so on. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
my intuition for this, for like wireless switching, only applies to looking at like the same point. How you identify them, but then kind of imagine that they switch. If we just have a path that doesn't go through the point, how do we justify that they switch?
Well, the behavior. Let's see. If I remove the branch points, and over each point in the in this plane, I have, in this case, three solutions. The behavior as I go around a branch point doesn't depend on the details of the path. So I might as well make this path really close to the branch point, in which case that model is valid. So in this example, so it is like more, it's going to be more complicated to build a surface. Here's one way you might do it. You might introduce branch cuts all go to the origin. Then when we remove branch cuts, and include infinity, we get three hexagons because it's a disk with a hexagon. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, not hexagon. 12 cones, and these are glued together, according to how the roots switch. So the details are a little tricky, and I'm not sure I can get them all right here. This will also be a torus, this particular example. So this was mostly to indicate how things can be much more intricate with when we go beyond square roots. Are there any questions about this? The next thing I'd like to explain is I want to explain a little bit about how people originally thought about Riemann surfaces when they were thinking about integrals. But to do that, we're going to need to understand how one-forms on a Riemann surface are going to be related to one-forms on the complex plane. Yeah?
Branch cut is that a restricted branch cut mean from the cross to infinity, right? Because when I cut that line, I change the route. So, but
well, there's many choices in your branch cuts, right? So, I like to avoid having branch cuts going to infinity. And you can make sure you do that as long as your polynomial is such that when I go around the big circle, it doesn't permute the roots. In this example, you can check that's true by examining the behavior of the polynomial when z is really large.
What if I made my cycle smaller? So this cut your branch, but nothing happened, right? Try to shrink the
cycle here?
When it passed that line, nothing happened, right? But it cuts your branch.
Well, the branch cut is, branch cuts only, only the topology of branch cuts matter, right?
So the only thing that matters is you shouldn't turn around the cross cut.
Yeah, so like you want to, you draw your branch cuts such that when you remove them, any loop in which doesn't cross the branch cuts doesn't permute any of the roots. So any branch cuts you choose with that property are good. Well, I could have also chosen the branch cuts to be there. And then in the middle, it's fine. On the outside, it's fine. But I'm not allowed to go around in circles around those. So it's that might have been better. That might have been good. On the plane, two hexagons, but then each is triple, so I get six hexagons together in some complicated.
And the other thing is, so there is a chance that 3 points come together.
Yes. Well, what happened? This particular polynomial, it doesn't happen. So 3 points come together. So 2 points come together when you solve both of these equations, and 3 points come together when you also solve this one. Okay. And it happens not to happen to this polynomial. I chose this polynomial, so this didn't happen. But if I said, w cubed equals z, then certainly 3 points come together. And then as I go around the origin, the three roots of unity are permuted cyclically. Any more questions? Okay, so let's move on to looking at one forms. So suppose I take an elliptic curve which looks like this. And I give it the coordinate u, where u is equivalent to u plus 1, u is equivalent to u plus tau. And since the elliptic curve is a torus, its first cohomology group is two-dimensional. There are two cycles, like this cycle and this cycle, and a basis where we're taking cohomology with complex coefficients is given by du and du bar. And it's going to be important to notice that R, if I take du, I can integrate over the A cycle. Divided by the integral of the B cycle. Because, I'm going to take this to be the B cycle, and this to be the A cycle. When they become a torus, it looks like that. This number tau, which parameterizes the geometry, can be realized as the ratio of these two integrals. Now, our torus, or the elliptic curve, can also be parameterized in terms of w squared is fz, or fz is z minus p1, z minus p4. So we can ask, what do du and du bar look like in terms of the z plane? To understand this, let's work on a local model near a branch point, near one of the PI. This equation is like w squared equals z. They just change coordinates, shift pi to the origin, and I get w squared equals z minus pi times something that doesn't really matter. If we work locally, we notice that dw is half dz over root z. Just from this equation. Now, this might seem a little funny because dz over root z looks like it has some kind of singularity, but it doesn't. And more generally, the one form dz over root f is non-singular on the W. So what we're going to find is that dz over root f is du. So to check that, we need to check one more thing, because we're including z equals infinity too. Well, dz over root f looks like z over z squared, because f is degree 4 polynomial and we're taking the square root. Z is large, the dominant term. And if z tilde is 1 over z, then d of z tilde is minus 1 over z squared dz, so that dz over z squared is regular, also it's equals infinity. So from this, we conclude that this expression defines a nice one form on the elliptic. Because locally it's always expressed in terms of a holomorphic coordinate, and the coefficient satisfies the Cauchy-Riemann equation, it must be g of u, u, where g is holomorphic, And further, because G is holomorphic, since like G is doubly periodic, it must be bounded. So by the maximum principle, is constant. So the maximum principle says any holomorphic function with no poles takes its largest value in the boundary of the domain which is defined. Since this has a line in the whole domain, because it's periodic, it must kind of go up and down like this, the maximum value must be somewhere in the middle. It must be constant. So conclude that d0 over root f must be some constant times du. Okay. So we're almost ready to say to translate between integrals of this kind of thing, like a totally elementary integral, and integrals on the torus. So to do that, we need to think about the A and B cycles. So if we think about our two branch cuts, this, they go into this kind of thing. I can cut some circles in the sphere. In effect, and I do them together to get this torus. Think about it. So the cycle which goes around here, because on this sphere goes around there, when I glue them together, it goes around there. So this cycle will be the A cycle. A different color, what's the B cycle? That's something that goes around here. This is a bit trickier to imagine. Might start on one branch, go over to this branch cut, then cross the branch cut and come over here. So that goes like this. That, on the torus, it goes like this. So this is the B cycle. Any, this can be a little difficult to picture and also to draw, but are there any questions about this? Yeah?
This association, I mean, nevertheless, it's not crazy to me. Can you generalize this as beyond elliptic functions, or is it only defined by functions?
No, it generalizes. So if I'm on a surface of genus G, then H1 is of dimension 2D. And that splits up into G things which are holomorphic in G things which are anti-holomorphic. So how would I get G things which are holomorphic? I assume that it's the same kind of thing where like W is root F, where F is typically 2n. You notice that I'm allowed to have, if F is of large degree, then dz over root F vanishes at infinity to a large order. So I could also look at things which are like if W squared is F, degree 2n, you can look at dz over root F times z to some power, where the power is 0 and minus 2, I think. These will give you the things on a random surface of genus G. These plus the complex conjugates give 2n minus 1 equals 2g closed one forms. And they're a basis for cohomology.
And this equation is agreed upon on the it's clear. So I assume that if there is no generalization to like just have some analytic function like it's expanded for all series, it's can't do the same procedure for like genus.
Yeah, exactly. Or, I mean, the simplest thing is you look at the function log, and then you find what you find is an infinite sheeted cover. But the covering space in that case is just C. So it's not infinite genus. It can be infinite genus. You had an infinite number of branch cuts. Because you try to do something with the square root of sine or something like that. But yes, it's definitely more complicated. Okay, so this geometric picture that these two cycles on the plane become the NB cycles in the torus, is that what you mean here? Okay, so what this is going to allow us to do is to say the integral of dz over root f is going to be related to tau, because tau is the ratio of two integrals. So the integral, let's ignore the constant, integral du over an a cycle is the integral dz over root f along this contour here. And if you think about that, we make the contour really small. So integral p1 to e2 along this c. Let's assume that P1, P2 are in the reals for simplicity. P1 minus I epsilon, P2 plus minus I epsilon, then minus P1 plus I epsilon, P2 plus I epsilon. But we notice that when I go across a branch point, Sorry, I'm gonna go across the branch, Kat. Root f changes sign. Well, actually, these two things are the same. They don't cancel, they add. This is equal to twice the interval. I just send epsilon to zero, but this is an ordinary real interval. Of dz over root f. And because the minus sign here gets cancelled by the minus sign here. Similarly, integral over the b cycle of du is twice the integral from p2 to p3. Dz over root f is at the period. Going to be the ratio of these. So in this way, we've translated the period of this elliptic curve into some entirely elementary thing. Involving some intervals. And I believe this was the origin of the whole series. Are there any questions? I think I actually don't really have much more material right there. Yeah.
I was curious about what else I was going to ask. Do you know how this applies to the number theory?
Think of a direct, and like in number theory, you're normally looking at an elliptic curve given by a cubic equation with integer coefficients, and then you're trying to find the solutions or integers or rational numbers. So one thing is, you know, given these four points in the plane, when is my elliptic curve given by such a cubic equation? And the answer is, if the cross ratio is a rational number. But other than that, that's kind of an elementary thing. Other than that, I don't think of anything.
It's not possible that it's a lot of different stuff.
Oh, were you reading like is a textbook about number theory?
A possible textbook where he just began talking about elliptic curves, and I was just the largest reading of that, similar to the number theory.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, elliptic curves play like a really key role in number theory in a variety of ways. But I think it's all much more complicated than this.
We know tau and tau plus one are describing some manifolds. So can this be internal for the movement? This symmetry is it simple to see?
Say that again.
It's difficult to see the symmetries in terms of those polynomials because you know there is a map between tau and polynomial, right? Part of the polynomial that we so can we see the connection?
I mean that you have to perform this integral.
Yeah.
I mean that's right. So you know. Given four points in the plane, what is tau? You just do this integral. It's some kind of it's complicated. So for instance, like if you take these four points in the plane, you can always assume by a coordinate transformation that P1 is zero. P3 is infinity, then P4 is some number. Some function of tau. And it's called the J. And this is some like completely explicit function. It's an infinite sum of some coefficients. Those coefficients are just numbers.
For example, if I switch P2 and P3, that tau goes to tau plus 1 minus, right? Minus
two. Yes. So that's, yeah, that's an excellent point. So the tau is only defined up to these, tau goes to A tau plus B over C tau plus D, or A, B, C, D are integers to satisfy this equation. And you can see that in terms of the geometry of the torus, you can find a basis for the cycles. It's given by, if I start with AB, R are I hit it with this integer matrix. That's another perfectly good basis for the cycles. And in terms of the geometry of the plane, that's going to be, as you said, replace, you know, switching the roles of P2 and P3 or like there's various other transformations, but they're all labeled by these integers.
I think that understanding this transformation in general, the polynomial is simple because it makes me very upset that I'm not understand why this transformation brings one metric to itself. It doesn't take a metric.
Well, I think it was not done a good job of explaining it. It's quite elementary if you draw it right. Because remember, it's like a conformal passive metric. So I really just have to think. When I drew this picture about cutting up the torus and doing it back together, change the value of tau. I mean, thinking about that picture, I think, well, oh. I don't know, I could use this other version.
But for instance, if we do the same thing with instead of 1, but 0.1 over half, this also holds, right? I need to cut and bring, but this is not the same.
Yes. But you have to think about how the sides are identified.
By this process, we can bring anything to square. No?
Yeah, but you're only allowed maneuvers. So you're only allowed to cut and glue things together as long as it respects the identifications you have on the sides. Like this is the same as this. And so if I cut things up that respect the equivalence relations, they'll still give you the torus, but if they don't, you get something else.
So for instance, this transformation can bring tau to 1 over tau.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's because we started off life with, you know, it really started off with a pair of vectors, defining a quadrilateral. And I decided to rotate this one to the to one, but I could have decided to rotate that one. So for the next, I think I'm hoping we can have a makeup lecture. Do you guys want? Yeah, so one topic we haven't touched on is the relation between gauge fields and topology. So we could maybe on tomorrow and for makeup lecture spend some time doing that. But do you have a question there? Or?